Revolutionary Guard is vowing retaliation for an airstrike. It destroyed Iran's consulate in the Syrian capital, killing 7 guard members as well. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 91 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Let's Face the Issues, and I'm Brother Davis. We're doing the best we can here, amen, as we try to go through this radio broadcast without being affected so much by this little condition that keeps wanting to bother my throat, but we'll be okay. We're going to make it through. Amen. We thank God, amen, just for the opportunity once again. Good morning, Dr. Dorothy. Love you so much. And all of you that are listening on today, again, we thank you for joining in with us. Again, we're talking about Christian freedom in connection with man's free will and what this means to Christians today. Telephone number 904-831-0917. That call gets through to the studio right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions or comments. Again, we were talking about, just before the broadcast ended, how we should make decisions based upon the will of God. As Christians on today, we ought to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk according to the will of God, according to the word of God. All of the blessings, everything we need, are connected with the word of God. So God promises every believer blessings if we do what his word says. Remember, blessings are contingent upon your obedience to the word of God. When you do right, God bless you. When you do wrong, he turns that double-edged sword over, and then he judges you. He pronounces judgment or executes judgment upon you for doing the wrong. But thank God for repentance, restoration, and reconciliation, because we can read about that through various stages of the word of God and see where, when individuals came to their senses, just like the prodigal son, when it came to him what he had done, he looked up to heaven and said, I have sinned against God and against my father, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. When he went back and repented to his father restored him. He was reconciled with him. And that's the same thing that he'll do for us on today. Amen. I believe we'll have to call on the line. Go ahead, question or comment.
Hi, Dr. Davis. You said something about Resurrection Sunday. And this, from Palm Sunday, it was like, with me, walking with Christ more heavier than I ever had.
Amen.
And being an evangelist, it was such an experience that whatever happened in that tomb, that power that was in that tomb, when he walked out, it was like walking out with him.
Amen.
Into a better horizon. And that joy and what he has placed inside of us with what happened in that tomb, we have forgotten we're soldiers here. And the frontline soldiers are tired, and he's even allowing them to live longer till we come up like we're supposed to. And then we wonder why things are going on. It's because we're not fighting. When we fight in the spirit. And I think we forgot, when you fight in the physical, you're fighting with your feet, you know, and everything. We don't lay down everything, and then something happens. We're shocked. And that's even in the church. And it's sad, because our weapons are warfare. And plus that sword you was talking about, that double edge, it can go in and kill. It can go in and hurt. But it's also too can come out healing that person too. But we're afraid. What happened to, "But Christ I live, but Christ I die"?
Amen.
And we live each day like it's our last, because he may choose us at that moment to glorify him even in death. It's like we weaken. So why are we surprised that we got a man in the office and the apple don't fall too far from the tree?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for those comments, Sister Carrie. You're spot on with your comments. I mean, and I think the biggest problem with that, Sister Terry, if I may say, is the church has lost its way. We're not salt and light. That's what the scripture told us to do. Be salt and be light. And then Christ came back again and said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, when we look at the commitment, back in the day when I got saved in 1985, and I thank God for the time, and he saved me just in time. Amen. I got my religion in time. Amen. I wish now that I've been in Christ for 39 years, preaching and teaching the gospel, being a deacon, and I came up through the ranks. And I came up through under the teaching of some very outstanding individuals here in Folkestone, Georgia. But I thank God for all of the teaching that I received under them, because they were strict in their beliefs. And they didn't believe in, like they used to say back in the old days, taking wooden nickels. That means you don't take things for granted, and you're not so willing to grasp a hold of any and everything that looks good. Now, another saying that they used to say in the church, and this was just by way of stirring up your way by remembrance so that you would keep your mind focus on the scripture. And these are just general sayings. Everything that shines is not gold. Everything that's brown is not done. That means in the cooking process. A whole lot of times, if we don't cook things thoroughly, and I've seen this happen so many times, let me just use an example, by the way, of how sometimes you women bake cakes, or you might bake a bread in the oven, and it gets brown on the top real fast, but when you take it out and check it, it's still raw in the middle. Just because it was brown on the top, it didn't mean that the whole thing was done or fitting to eat. Now, same thing for Christians. Everything that looks good out in the world, Christians, so many confessing Christians, are ready to run out and connect up with it. So, because we have made the choice, many have, to put Joe Biden in the White House, simply because they hate Donald Trump for one reason or other. Again, I'm not here to discuss politics a whole lot, but I do want you to know religious freedom has a lot to do with your choices. So if we put individuals in place who are committed, let me go back to the first word I said, and confessing and believing Christians, ones who are actually living the life and won't take the wooden nickels that we just got finished talking about, ones that will stand on the word of God, then we can live a life, 1 Timothy chapter 2, when we pray for those who are in authority with all godliness and sobriety. In other words, we know that those individuals won't retract. They won't go back on the word of God if they're sitting in positions of authority, because listen, a whole lot of times individuals on our level, and some of them we know well, even from the local area, and when it comes down to the local level, city council, so forth and so on, school boards and different things like that, they'll come to you and make promises. If you vote for them, what they'll do, and then when they get on the inside, they'll be persuaded by the other majority. And sometimes they let money and favors buy them out, so then they knuckle under and they don't hold up to their promises. Well, again, getting back to the free will choice, we made the choice. I'm talking about not all of us, but there are some confessing Christians that made the choice to vote in that way, to put the person in place without vetting the candidate. That's important. Know who they are and what they stand for and what the party platform is for. Let me say this, and I still don't want to sound political, but it's right. It's right anyhow. There is no way a confessing and believing Christian can vote Democrat because of the party platform, what they stand for, abortion, gay rights, different things like that. That's against the word of God. And if you are voting for them, you are voting in favor for those sinful, abominable practices. And that's not pleasing to God. Now, I'm not saying the Republicans are angels. Some of them stand for it. But again, the important thing, the thought behind my point, is vetting the candidate, making sure that these are godly people who we are voting for to put in these positions, so that it will benefit us in the long run for the moral good of the country. Because that's the problem. This country has gotten away from the moral good that it was built and established upon, being that the word of God was the thing that really motivated the forefathers to put the wording in the Constitution the way that they did, to give us rights that should not be violated. But we have to understand again, everything we do as people, because man is a free moral agent, God made you to be so, you have a right and an ability to choose. But what you have to do is be sure that you're making the right decision when it comes down to making those choices. Because choices are not made in vain. Choices carry consequences. And that's my point throughout this whole broadcast. As Christians, God has a system in place for that. Number one is repentance. When we have done wrong and we come to realize, like the prodigal son did in my example, what I just said, when he came to himself and he realized that he sinned, he repented, and the Father restored him and was reconciled with him. That's the same thing God the Father will do for us and our country. If America repents, listen, if America doesn't repent, I've heard so many God-fearing preachers and individuals say, God will have to repent for what he done to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I don't think he's going to do that. So, Sister Terry, you are so right. You're on point with your comments. Certainly, you know, I'm very much worried about the moral condition of the church where I see it today. Because when I came to the church in 1985 and gave Christ my life, I was coming off the streets. And I thank God that he saved me, and I don't have a taste for anything out there anymore. The world doesn't have anything to offer me. For Christ I live and for Christ I'll die. And if you have not gotten there, you can get to that point, but you have to become a committed individual for Christ Jesus. Listen, Dr. Youngblood prides himself on being a central biblicist, and I do too. We are basing our lives and what we know and the way we live from the center of God's word. That's where we have to find ourselves as Christians, in the center of God's world, word and God's will for our lives if we want to be blessed. But the problem is, again, we have so many rights until we don't even know what to do with them. Now, again, everything that we do, the Bible say, even before you say something out of your mouth, for you to think twice and speak once. 99.99999% of the time, we don't think before we speak. And a lot of times what we speak will hurt someone else's feelings if we are not careful. And we go to the book of James, it tells us about this tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's set on fire of hell itself. So if we don't let the Holy Spirit take control of our tongue and our minds and allow us to think, to speak, and to respond according to God's word and his will. And then remember this too, as a believer, you are representing Christ. So many times, the only Christ that other individuals are going to ever see is the Christ that's in your life when they see you. So you have to be careful how you act or how you live. Because if you say one thing out of your mouth, I'm a Christian, and then if you do things contrary to being a Christian, you are hurting that individual. They may be looking for the truth. They may be looking for God. They might want to believe in his word, but because they see the negative in your life, now you are turning them away. Again, we can't draw anybody. Let us understand that. Because the Bible says no man comes unless the Father draws him. So what we have to do is let God draw them through our lives, the way that we live, the way that we give, the way that we love, especially one another, and the way that we love individuals who may not even know Christ. Now, again, I don't want to get over in too many other areas because sometimes, I mean, we can find things to be difficult, especially when it comes to the area of love, because some individuals seem to be unlovable. But we have to realize we wasn't always saved. Because the Bible says, 2 Corinthians, I believe that was chapter 5, verse 17, somewhere out in there, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's nothing so good that we have done to deserve being where we are right now today. Not even when it comes down to enjoying the blessings of God, we haven't done anything so good to deserve that. So really, we were nobody before we came to Christ. But when we came to Christ, Christ made us somebody. Now, let me help you to understand this. To God, everybody is somebody. There's no big eyes, no little you. There's no rich man, no poor man, no underprivileged, no nothing. We have to understand this. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. So we all stand on the same ground when it comes to Christ. We are only sinners saved by grace. And the more we understand that, the better off things can be for us in our lives. Amen. So thank you so much, Sister Terry, for your call and for your comments. Again, getting back to Christian freedom, connected with man's free will, and what this means for Christians today. Here's an article that says, this is something that just happened recently. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed Religious Freedom Act, SF-2095, better known as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It was designed to protect the religious freedom rights of residents of Iowa, and it was approved by the mostly Republican-controlled Senate and was approved by the House of Representatives. In a statement, Governor Reynolds said, and I quote, 30 years ago, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act passed almost unanimously at the federal level. Since then, religious rights have increasingly come under attack. Today, Iowa enacts a law to protect these unalienable rights, just as 26 other states have done, upholding the ideals that are the very foundation of our country. The act first passed the Republican Senate state house and senate. And the bill was signed by the governor at a dinner event hosted by the Christian conservative activist group, the Family Leader. Thank God for them. And I thank God. God bless Governor Reynolds for taking a stand for religious freedom. So again, when we look at Christian freedom, religious freedom, all these different freedoms that we enjoy, we are under attack. They are coming under attack on various levels. And if we don't take a stand on today, then one day we won't be able to enjoy anything, especially those that are guaranteed and connected and promised to us by the Constitution of the United States, this great country in which we live. Amen. So what we have to understand also, conscience, when it comes down to your conscience, God gave everybody a conscience, is the individual's most sacred right. Our ability to seek the truth about God and live according to our beliefs has been an essential part of American order from the beginning. No other nation has such robust protection of religious freedom. James Madison, that's one of the founding fathers, described it as an unalienable right. Again, we find these words codified in the Constitution and many other areas with the laws concerning this great country, the United States of America, but we find many of them disappearing because they are under attack. Various individuals in this administration and in other places on all levels are attacking the rights of Christians. And again, I remind you that even on Easter last week, our president tried to pass legislation that would recognize Easter as Gay, Lesbian, and Transgender Day, something connected with that in that order. So again, if we stand back and do nothing, one day we're going to want to enjoy those rights and they will no longer be there. Dr. Youngblood and I, as we began to research different things connected to the COVID, during the time that the COVID came out, there, and we call it a pandemic, many rights connected to the norm, things we knew as the norm, things we recognized as the norm, went away. It disappeared. They are no longer there. And the ones that are there, whatever remains, are still yet under attack. And if you are a Christian, remember this. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember that they hated me. If they hate me, they're going to hate you also. In other words, so if we are taking a stand for Christ Jesus on today, we have to realize as a Christian, we signed up for that. But scripture also lets us know if we suffer with him, that we'll reign with him. Amen. So listen, the Declaration of Independence recognizes these rights as endowed by our Creator. The Constitution and other legal protections reflect the importance of religious freedom to America. This freedom to live according to vastly different religious beliefs has allowed men and women of different faiths to live, work, learn, and worship peacefully side by side. Now, again, getting back to what I said about enjoying these freedoms amongst different individuals. When other individuals come from other countries and become a U.S. citizen legally, then our government allows them to practice their religion because they say the Constitution codifies it and it gives them the right. Now, what we have to realize when we go to other countries as U.S. citizens, many countries do not allow us to practice Christianity, even though we are confessing Christians and that's our religion. They won't allow you to worship God freely in their country, but we allow it to be so in our country. Now, maybe there's something wrong right there. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not here to judge anyone. But there's some thing that takes, or we need to take a closer look at, because some people have taken things out of context and they're beginning to run it in the ground and abuse it. So this is the reason why many people's religious rights have come under attack, more so especially if you are a Christian. Here's another article that says, atheist Marin congressman wants to tax Catholic churches. The Catholic League president warns of Huffman's threat to the church's tax-exempt status. Representative Jared Huffman is a Democrat from California, an atheist, an anti-Catholic bigot. He showed his real colors when he recently tweeted the following. If they're, and he's talking about the Catholic bishops, going to politically weaponize religion by rebuking Democrats who support women's reproductive choice, then a rebuke of their tax-exempt status may be in order. Listen to the atheists. That's who we have in a position of authority in our Congress. Huffman, a Democrat from Marin County, obviously objects to the First Amendment's provisions on freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Accordingly, he should resign from the Congress of the United States. There are plenty of other countries where he would fit in just fine, ranging from Iran to North Korea. So that's just another article to show you how people in various positions of authority in our government is attacking religious freedom, man's freedom, our free will right to do good or to do evil, or to make a choice whether we want to worship God or not. How can man, limited by a sin nature, ever choose what is good? It is only through the grace and power of God that free will truly becomes free in the sense of being able to choose salvation. And if we go to John chapter 15, verse 16, the scripture tells us it is the Holy Spirit who works in and through a person's will to regenerate that person, John 1 and 12 through 13, and give him or her a new nature created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, Ephesians 4 and 24. Salvation is God's work. At the same time, our motives, desires, and actions are voluntary, and we are rightly held responsible for them. And if you want to go to other books for further studies, we have a book called Chosen Free, a revised edition, A Balanced View of God's Sovereignty and Free Will by Norm Geisler, and The Potter's Freedom by James White. So there are other references out there to give us more information on what Christian freedom, the free will of man, so forth and so on, should really look like. But we advise you on today, stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That's all the time we have. Certainly, we thank and praise God for you being with us on today. Come back and join us the next time as once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with